Amen. Amen. We're going to open Joshua chapter 3 if you've got Bibles. And I said this session in my mind was about what is the Lord saying to the church in the nation at this time and how do we get positioned for what is coming. Now, I stand here in front of you going, I don't really know what's coming, but he does. And I'm just looking to him and saying, Lord, you lead us, you show us the way, because I don't know where I'm going. I just know I only want to follow him. I only want to go where he's going. And so I'm in that posture, I think, over the last 4 or 5 years of just going, God, over to you. I feel like I had a bit of a plan for my life. I knew the direction that I was going. You know, I'd got Baptist ordained. I was leading in the Baptist church for about 10 years. I was sat in amazing spaces and places in terms of leadership. And little bit by little bit over the last few years, the Lord's just said, put it down, lay it down, stop doing that. Step away from that. And it's been like so hard to surrender to the Lord. And I'm not suggesting everybody needs to leave their jobs. Please don't hear that. But what it has been this journey of the Lord just saying, I need you to yield. I need you to yield everything to me, because the next 40 years are not going to look anything like the last 40 that you've been in. And that's been really challenging, because I've just been feeling the sense of God saying, I'm changing your whole posture. I want to remold you and reshape you for what's coming. And will you come with me? Will you say yes to me? So even as I stand up here with notes in front of you, I just feel the fear of the Lord, because I am one who is fearful. I am one who is prone to just give you an ABC for the day. I'm one who would like to keep things quite neat and tidy. I think I'm prone to control things sometimes. And actually, the Lord is saying, come in a different spirit. Come in a different spirit. Come surrendered, come yielded, and come open to whatever I want to say and do. And that is really hard. And some of the kind of the preaching that God is asking me to do is, don't just preach it, I want you to demonstrate it. Don't just speak it, I want you to live it. And I'm so, even as I'm with you guys today, I'm trying to step into that posture of saying over to you, Lord. So you guys don't go away and go, that was a nice talk and we all had a great time, you know, and oh, doesn't she quite a good communicator? No, that is not the goal. The goal is, how do we move together into the purposes of God? How do we actively shift into more of what he has in this hour? Because we can't stay where we are. None of us can. So we're going to read from Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole of it, if that's okay. We're reading from the NIV. Hope that doesn't confuse anybody too much. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. I mean, what a crazy thing, right, to tell them to do. Head towards the Jordan and stand in the edge of the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, someone's going to correct me afterwards, aren't they? The Amorites and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole of the nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We are all going over together. We are not going to leave anybody behind. We cannot afford to leave anybody behind. We are in a moment of crossing over. We are in a moment of saying goodbye to one era and stepping into the next era. And we have to work hard to go together. And I love that they stayed in the middle of the Jordan until everybody was across. Everybody, and you can imagine that those people who were going, but what are we doing? We're going to cross that water? Like, are you crazy? Is the water even going to move? Is it even going to go back? You're saying go this way. What? We've never been this way. Why would we do that? What are you doing? And yet they're like, no, we're going to wait until everybody is crossing over. And it's fascinating that we're moving in this moment from Moses to Joshua, that we are seeing a shift in leadership. And I know this is where you guys stand in this current moment, in a shift in leadership. And it must have been a really painful time for them as they mourned for Moses, right there at the end of Deuteronomy, where they're just like, this leader, this person who has led us so well, who was face to face with the Lord, who followed us, you know, who led us out of Egypt, who followed God wholeheartedly. And now we're dealing with Joshua. Now we've got to deal with this new guy. And this guy is a military leader. He's not like the leaders that have gone before. He's not like what we saw before. And now he's telling us we're going a road we've never traveled before. Do I want to go that way? Really? Is that really you, God? Is that really what you're saying to us? And I personally have found that I've found this season really hard in the sense of the grief that is over the last season. I've lost three friends in the last 6 weeks to cancer, three of them all in the hospice, three of them. And the agony, the pain in the family is just, I know so many of you have seen it. And it's just so painful when somebody goes. So agonizing, something that's been so familiar, their place in the family, their place in the body of Christ, their positioning, and all of a sudden everything has to change. Everything has to shift, the way the families operate it, you know, the way that they have to do everything, and the level of heartache in that moment. I think it's not dissimilar to what we see in the passage. This pain of leaving the old, of leaving the season that has gone before. And what I love in scripture is that they mark the moments. I love that you did that last night. We're going to give thanks. We're going to give thanks for what God's done. We're going to give thanks for the last 50 years because we can't move on without grieving. We can't just suddenly move into something new without taking stock of the moment that we find ourselves in. And grief is not a bad thing. I know about you, I've lived with this like stiff British upper lip thing of like, just pull yourself together and keep going and get on with it. That is not the posture that God is calling the church to adopt. He is saying, my children, be real with one another. Be vulnerable, love one another from the heart. And yet at the same time, we can't hold on. We have to embrace the next season. And Moses says, doesn't he, if we go back, you know, Lord, unless your presence goes with us, we don't want to move from here. Unless your presence is going to come with us. And so it's fascinating that in this moment with Joshua, it's like, until you see the Ark of the Covenant move, do not move. Until you know the Lord is saying, yes, it's time now. Don't move. Don't go until you're ready, until the Lord has shown you the way. And I feel like the Lord is saying it is military leader season. It is time for military leaders to stand up and to rise up. And I'm not talking about war as in a physical sense. I'm talking about a battle in the spirit realm. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the authorities of this dark world. And there is a very real battle that is happening that is becoming more and more visible to the body of Christ. And we need leaders who are going to stand up and say, we're going to keep going into the promises of God. And we are not going to back down. And we are not going to get watered down. And we are not going to compromise. And we are going to hold tight to the word of God. And we are going to meditate on it day and night, because we're going with the word and we're following the spirit. It has to be both and, not one or the other. And there'll be those of us who feel passionate about the word of God and those of us who love the work of the spirit. For me, they are one together. They stand together. You cannot separate them. God is moving through by his spirit, through his living word in this hour. And so every revelation that I'm receiving or feeling, I'm going, Lord, where is that in the word of God? Where is that? Do we see that in the word? Because if I don't see it in the word, I'm going, I don't know. I just don't want to be deviating from the truth, because this is an hour of spirit and truth. Back in 2015, I had a sense of the Lord saying, I'm raising up an army. I'm raising up an army. And in the image that I was seeing this army of young people like beginning to move, and this light from this huge flame torch came near this girl's face and lit up her face. And I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that the army that's coming are an army of young ones. And in the last little while, I've just been looking in the face of my daughter, who is 17, and just the fire of God, like that is beginning to burn in her, the hunger that is beginning to burn in her. And I'm just like, who are you and what has happened? And she's speaking things, and I'm going, I need to listen and follow. I need to pay attention to the younger generation, and we need to make room for them to rise. And I think the Lord is saying, you know, where are the mothers and the fathers who are going to help the sons and the daughters to just step into the fullness of what God has for them? Because it's a battlefield in the schools. It's a battlefield in the NHS. It's a battlefield in the government. It's a battlefield in every area of society in this moment. And the church have to go across the Jordan together. We have to go together. Somehow we have to. And I feel like the enemy would do anything to try and rip us apart and try and separate us and say, yeah, you've got the power of God on you. Yeah, you're anointed. Yeah, you go. And the Lord's like, I want everyone. I want every one of my children. You know, some of what he was showing me in that image of the army was it's a nameless, faceless army that's rising. It's not about celebrity Christianity. It's not about what we've had before. It's a way of humility and brokenness. It's on our knees before the King and saying, I can't do anything, but you can. You can. And we're just seeing more and more young people just burning for God. I would just say, yes, Lord, do it. Do whatever you want to do, but help us not to miss what you're doing. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12, it says that many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of the new temple that was being laid while many others shouted for joy. And I thought, isn't that interesting that you can hear weeping and shouting for joy in the same room, in the same space? Because it's like, oh, but this was what happened before. Oh, but this is what's coming. Ah! And I feel like we're living in that tension. It's like, yeah, but we saw all of this and it was amazing. And this is how we did it. And this is how the Spirit moved. And this is what we saw. And what are you saying about this? Because that temple foundation doesn't look like that. It's not half as good as it was before. Honestly, this is better. The Lord's like, no, no, no. The glory that's coming is going to far outweigh anything that went before. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to fear, because when we put our feet in the edge of the Jordan River, he's the one who makes the way. He does it. He makes a way for his people. And I believe that we will begin to see mighty signs and wonders. I do believe that we will begin to see the Lord move. And we've all got different reactions to that, haven't we, depending on our own journey. But I just believe that God will use us uniquely and individually and yet corporately together, nameless and faceless. So, yeah, wow, I don't know what just happened then. Good, back to the word. Ooh, I feel really excited for you guys. I feel really excited for this moment that you find yourself in. I feel really excited by the family that is evident in the room. I feel like you have foundations here relationally that I rarely get to see in different places. There's a sense of you going deeper together in smaller spaces, which means that you are going to handle the growth and the shift that's coming. Because so often I felt like what's coming, we have what we've got now, cannot contain what's coming. And actually, the deeper that we go in the Lord, the more like we dig into God and the more we love him and love one another, the more exciting it's going to be, because the more lives we're going to see transformed for the sake of the gospel. Wow. Just earlier this week, I woke up with just this line. I seem to be waking up at stupid o'clock in the morning. I don't know what's going on. But I woke up with this line early on the first day of the week while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And I just felt like, whoa. Like, what is about to happen? Like, what, early in the dark, like, there she was going to the tomb. He was not there because he was alive. And they've gone through this death, and they've gone through the agony of death and the agony of this season of kind of trying to understand what's going on and trying to, it's glorious and beautiful. They've seen miracles. They've seen God move. They've seen Jesus himself do incredible things. But he died. What the heck is coming next? Early on the first day of the week, he wasn't there. The stone was rolled away. And I just felt like I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Anne, this is what's coming. Like, you are stepping into a moment where you are going to see the stone rolled away, where you're going to see the reproach of Egypt rolled away, where you're going to see that chasm that lay between us go again. And we know it's gone, right? We know it's gone through the cross. But I don't know about you, but I've been living with that, how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain we could not climb. In desperation, we turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Because Jesus, I feel, is saying, I want to take center stage. And I am the crossing for the Jordan. I am the one who makes the way. And I am removing the chasm that lies between you. And this sense of God going, this is for the church as much as it's for the lost. Because I don't know about you, but the journey in the last few years, God has been going, no, there's that obstacle, and there's that in your head, and there's that in the way, and I am going to remove every last bit of debris so that you come into fullness of relationship with me. He is chasing us down, and he is fighting until we're found, and he is leaving the 99 to go after the one. And he cares about the detail of every single one of our lives. He cares about how many hairs are on our heads. And he is saying, you know what? I know you got saved when you were 18. Yeah, I know you met Jesus when you were 4 years old, but I am coming again and I am going to move in power in my body to set them on fire for me. And it's a fire of intimacy. It's a fire of love. When Jesus talks to John in John 21 and he says, John, you know, how much do you love me? He's saying, sorry, to Peter in John 21. He's saying to Peter, how much do you love me? And the love that he's talking about, the root word in the Hebrew is huba. Huba means how much do you burn with love for me? How much do you burn with love for me? I don't know about you, but I want to burn with love for Jesus. I want him to be my one thing, the only thing. The only one that I worship and adore and bow down to, because everything else is going to pass away. I don't know when it's going to pass away, but it's going to pass away. And I want to be stood so firmly rooted in Christ that no matter how much we shake in the nation, that we go, no, look at Jesus. He's enough. He's enough. There was a woman in Tegucigalpa, and when the mud just began to come flying into the city, there was a huge hurricane, and the mud just came into the city and destroyed all the homes, all the families, and everything in Tegucigalpa. And my father-in-law was out there, and he was just with World Relief at the time, and walking down the street in Tegucigalpa, and he saw this old lady with a stick, and she was walking along with this stick with joy just written all over her face. And he said to her, like, what has happened? And she said, I've lost my house. And he said, you've lost your house? I'm so sorry. She said, yeah. She says, I've lost all my family. I said, you've lost all your family? Yes, and my market stall. My market stall has been completely, utterly destroyed. And he was like, well, what are you doing? And she said, I'm going to church. And he said, you're going to church? She said, yeah. She said, I'm going to church because we need to show them that those of us who've lost everything have lost nothing because we still have Jesus. I was just like rocked to the core of my being by that statement. Now, I do not live in Iran where they're imprisoned for their faith. I do not live in China. But I do believe that we are living in a climate right now where God is saying he's searching and he's looking for people who will say, do you know what? We're going to go into the new era with our eyes on Christ. And we're going to go forward and we're going to say, we only need you. We only want you. If we lose it all, we've lost nothing because we still have him. We still have him. I don't know if you're there. I'm not. I want to be. I want to be. I want it all. I want to give him my everything. In verse 4, you will know which way to go. You've never been this way before. I don't know how you guys feel about change, but change is upon us, isn't it? In the land, things are radically shifting in this hour. And I feel like one minute, like things look one way, and then the next minute, what's going to happen next? And I feel like we can be blown and we can be tossed about by the circumstances, by our jobs, by our finances, by ill health. And I feel like more and more that the Lord is like, Anne, be eyes on me. I want you to demonstrate something different. And I just was reminded when I was quite a lot younger, when I took my gap year, actually, that I had this moment on my gap year where they said to us, you can go to South Africa on mission or you can go to India on mission. And I one of my best friends, Tim, was on the year out with me. And I thought to myself, oh, South Africa. I mean, we were going to learn to surf in South Africa. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, I grew up on the Wirral. It was a very, very nice upbringing, very sheltered near Liverpool, very blessed upbringing. And I just was like, this is the nice road. You know, this feels like kind of where I want to be. Let's go to South Africa. And I remember one night, and I went to sleep, and I think it's probably the first time that I sensed the Lord speak to me and say, "You're going to India." And me go, "Yeah, no. I'm not doing that. Like, what do you mean I'm going to India? Like, that sounds terrifying." And the way they'd painted India was, you know, you're going to the Mother Teresa's house of the poor and dying. I think she died like the year before that. But you're going to go and work with the poor and dying. You're going to go into the slums in Calcutta. You know, you're probably going to struggle with the food there. It's probably going to make you quite poorly. Just all this stuff. And it's going to be quite cold, and it's not going to be on the beach. And I was like, "Lord, I am not going to India. I'm going to South Africa." And I realized at that point when I was 18 years old that naturally I want the way of comfort. I want the way of security. I want to please myself. And that even at this moment, the Lord was going, "Will you go the way I tell you to go? Or are you going to go with what you want to do? Which way are you going to choose?" And it literally came again and again. And then they said at the front of the meeting, "We have too many on the trip to South Africa. We need some of you to consider India." And I was like, "You're joking me. You're joking me." Eventually, I did actually make the decision to go to India. It wasn't easy by any stretch. It was utterly life-changing, because I saw God move in the dirt of people's lives. You know, people who were dying, people who were in agony. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord move and touch their lives. I saw people come to Jesus who were from Muslim background, from Hindu background. I saw the persecution that the Christians were involved in. I'm not saying they didn't have a good time in South Africa. I'm sure they did. But we have a choice which way to go, don't we? And I don't know about you, I do not want to be stood there at the edge of the Jordan going, "I'm not going to go this way. I don't know what's going to look like that water. What, it's going to be too scary." Like, which, I want to say yes to the Lord. I want to say yes to the Lord. I'm just going to come into land. I'm just aware that I could rant at you all morning, and that's not going to be helpful to anybody. I'm just going to give us one more thing from this passage before we break. In verse 5, it says this: Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." I find this a really important moment. And I think it's a really important moment for the whole body of Christ in the United Kingdom in this hour. Consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Yeah, sorry, just feel the Lord on that. Lord, forgive us for when we've tried to go our own way and do our own thing. Forgive us, Father, when we've tried to rush in. Forgive us for not humbling ourselves before you. Lord, thank you that Joshua didn't decide to walk to the Jordan without obeying what you were saying. Lord, would you wake us up to what you're saying? Would you wake us up, Holy Spirit, to what you're doing? That we would be obedient. That we would be obedient to you. Consecrate yourselves. Consecrate means to make holy or to dedicate yourself to a higher purpose. And as I was reading that just again this week, I just felt like the Lord say, "If you get empty, Anne, I can fill you. I can move through you. If you get empty, I can come. If it's less about you, and you make room for me, I can move. If you make it about you, I can't." What are we doing? We just might as well carry on the way we've always done. Will we make room? A few weeks back, I was told a story of this large group of churches that had been together and they'd made a decision to consecrate themselves for September, the whole of September, to enter this season of just saying, Lord, we yield to you. Would you wash us? You know, when they're in the Old Testament, they were making sacrifices. But really, this is a call to say, God, will you come and wash me? Will you come? And Lord, if there's a sacrifice you want me to make, if there's a surrender that you want me to make before you, like, yes, Lord, what does that look like? And it's a posture before the Lord of going, I'm giving you everything. Like, disturb me, God. Do whatever you want in me. I yield to you. And then he can come and remove whatever he wants to remove in our lives. And I just heard about this large group of churches that had met, and at their national gather, there'd been this call to consecration. They've been saying, in order to enter into what God has next, we have to be here. We have to say, God, I haven't got a clue what's coming, but I'm going to get on my knees before you. I can't do it, but you can. And their worship leader, one of the incredible worship leaders that they've got, and boy, are they amazing bands. I mean, they're amazing. But their main worship leader, just the Spirit of God just came and hit him and just touched him in such a powerful way. He couldn't stop shaking in the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, he was still shaking. And so a couple of the leaders like had to carry him out and put him into the car. And they said that he couldn't drive the car because the power of God was just so weighty on his life. All he'd done is say, yeah, I yield, Lord. I yield in the midst of worship. And they carried him. And he's like, I can't drive. So I think his lovely wife drove him home. 6 weeks later, he was still shaking under the power of God. And I was talking to the leader of these churches, and he said, the guy who is leading worship is not the same guy that he was 6 weeks ago. He is utterly transformed by the power of God. Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things. Is that, I don't, you know, the shaking, great, but that is about a work of God in his life that will enable the power of God to flow through his life in a way that we may never know the impact of what's going to come forth from him, his life, but it's a surrendered life. That's how we see God move. It's not, I'm going to go and do this for God. I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to get on and do what I want to do. I'm going to try and achieve. I'm going to try and do this and this and this. It's like, no, no, no. Consecrate. And I will do. I will split the water. I will move the Jordan River. And I will do more than you can ask or imagine. And we are utterly transformed in that space. And so is everyone around us. And I think God is saying to the UK church, come back to me. Come back to me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, basically, will you yield to me? Then I will come. If you turn from your wicked ways, and I think I'm just going, God, I don't want to think that I know it all. I don't want to think I've arrived. I don't want to think this is it. I don't want to think I haven't got any more to learn. I don't want to have any pride in me. And I've been in this like, you're not dead enough yet, Anne. I'm like, what on earth do you mean? No, I need you to lie down. And someone else had said to me, like, when we see everybody down on their knees in the church, then God will ride in over their backs. I'm like, wow, what an image. If you imagine the UK church on their knees. I feel like we're being driven there anyway with what's happening in the landscape. But a level of desperation is coming. But I tell you what, God's power is going to blow our minds. What he is going to do. Finish with this. In the Welsh Revival, I don't know if any of you have like read up on the Welsh Revival. It's one of my favorite stories. But Evan Roberts, I went to see the chapel where Evan Roberts prayed. And I sat where he'd sat. And in this prayer meeting, he'd literally prayed, bend me, O Lord. Bend me, O Lord, and went on to pray, empty me, fill me, use me. I mean, not complicated, right? Just a life laid down for the king. Over 130,000 people were impacted through one man saying that. He didn't go out with a good plan or strategy. He just got on his knees and started to pray. And people started to come to the Lord en masse. It starts with us. And we will see the water pile up into a heap. I think we'll see like crazy stuff happen. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be easy, my friends. I don't think that we're going to, you know, when Joshua takes the mantle, there's battles in the land, there's giants to fight. There are things that come at him. It's going to be battles and blessings. I'm not just promising it all going to be a smooth and easy road. But I think the Lord is saying, if you yield, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Should we stand to pray? Is that okay? If you're able, you're willing. It's coffee time. Let's just pray. Suze, could you just bring that prayer? Is that okay? I think there's a microphone. Yeah. Just want to pray together. Susie just pulled up this prayer earlier. I'd just love it if you could pray it. Is that all right?
It's a prayer of Sir Francis Drake. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen.